Welcome back in. Hour number three, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us. First 2 hours in the books. We are having more fun than any radio show should be able to have, and we are only in our first day together. This has been an awful lot of fun. You guys have been fantastic. By the way, social interaction has been phenomenal. Encourage you to go follow the Twitter feed at Clay and Buck. You can follow me on Twitter at Clay Travis. You can follow Buck Sexton on Twitter at Buck Sexton. We had a poll question. We'll try to do a lot of poll questions, keep you guys engaged. I'm curious what the audience will let us know based on voting in some of these poll questions that we put out. And right now, over 40,000 of you have voted in our first poll question, which was this: the most recent straw poll for 2024 Republican candidates had these four guys as the top vote getters. Who is your top pick of the four for 2024? We want to hear from you. Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Mike Pompeo were those top four. Again, over 40,000 of you have voted. That will be up all day. You can go interact. You can respond. You can argue with everyone on social media, as seems to be something that is wildly popular to do. And you can go follow us. You can also talk to other people listening to the show. Want to get it ready with the hashtag and the hashtag Clay and Buck. Hashtag Clay and Buck. If you want to react to the show, you want to interact with other listeners, that's where you can do that. That obviously all on Twitter. We appreciate all of you interacting on Facebook, on Instagram, on all of the places out there. Over 400 AM and FM stations carrying us. Not to brag or draw attention to ourselves, but this is, in fact, the largest radio show launch in the history of the medium, so far as I understand it. And we are here for you to fight the battles that you guys all care about. We are certainly inspired, and we honor the memory of Rush Limbaugh, and we will continue to fight the battles that he held so dear. One of the battles that Rush Limbaugh was fighting for the past year has to do with COVID and all of the absurdity and the fallout from COVID. We've talked about in hour two, Buck, you were pointing out that the heroes of the early COVID storylines, your Gavin Newsom's in California, your Andrew Cuomo's in New York, are now the villains. And the Ron DeSantis's of the world and the Greg Abbott's and the Brian Kemp's, the state governors, Bill Lee, who we are sitting in the state of Tennessee doing the show right now in Nashville, who opened their markets, who opened their states, who allowed their kids to go to school. They have all finally become the heroes for anyone with a functional brain. But big story out there. Now, I don't know how much you can trust the WHO. They clearly have carried the water for China a lot. They initially gave us totally flawed information out of Wuhan, China, about how prevalent COVID was, where it came from. Like many of you, or most of you, I would imagine, listening right now, maybe almost all of you, because I think most of you have functional brains. The evidence all supports the idea that COVID came out of a Chinese lab, that we were probably using American dollars to do gain-of-function research, that some of that money would have come from the NIH with Dr. Fauci's fingerprints all over it. One of the big questions, and we're going to get into being as honest with you every single day as we can, and I'll talk about this from a father's perspective because Sunday was Father's Day. One of the big questions out there has been, as kids under 18 years old are now eligible for the vaccine, what should be the choice that you make as a parent? And I've got three kids, Buck, 13, 10, and 6. I care about them more than anything in the world. I don't want them to get vaccinated because the data reflects that they are not in danger of COVID, from COVID, and that if they get it, they will be fine. I'm more afraid, frankly, of this vaccine and it being rushed and the fact that why would you give it to children? My kids have all been in person in school. We have fortunately been able to weather COVID, I think, better than almost anywhere in the country here in my home state of Tennessee. But I'm not going to give my kids the vaccine. And I know there are a lot of parents and grandparents out there listening to us, aunts and uncles, who have young kids as well. And I feel like it has become a anti-vax argument to say that you don't want your kids under the age of 18 to get the vaccine. And I think that's fundamentally unfair because every parent out there cares, every grandparent cares more about their kid than anything. These are real decisions that we're making. I got my kids vaccinated for measles, mumps, rubella, all of the things that are tangible threats to them. But there's a lot of evidence. Germany, not exactly known for its irrationality, German scientists have come out and said kids under 18 shouldn't get the vaccine. And now the WHO, and I know, again, there's questions about whether or not you can trust them, but Buck, the WHO has come out and said that they don't support vaccination for anyone under the age of 18.
Always with this, Clay, there's a lack of the next step in the conversation, too. There's the rewriting of history, which we've talked about, where we're supposed to forget that what I often refer to as the Fauciite consensus, the blue check expert,
yes,
MD class, have been not only wrong, but obviously deeply politicized in a lot of the recommendations here. I mean, all you have to do, and I just came from New York City, is walk around. You will see people double masked in 85 degree weather outside by themselves.
How stunning is Nashville compared to New York City in your experience?
I walked into the hotel here and the people at the front desk had no masks on, and I thought I was in some alternate universe all of a sudden.
It is amazing.
You still require masks at the coffee shop on my corner in New York. You still have masks required in every grocery store everywhere. And this is despite the fact that New York City, for example, has a 70% give or take vaccination rate, among the highest in the country. This has become a political branding exercise and religious belief, really, for a whole lot of people, which you and I saw when we used to talk about this over a year ago now,
yes,
because there was a it was an object that people wanted to show off to people. Oh, I wear masks all the time. I'm wearing them on the treadmill, all the rest of it. And when we go back and look at so many of the decisions, whether it's the shutdown of schools, which never should have happened, or now the masking after Fauci said don't mask, then it was you should mask. And then it became double mask, as we know. The whole thing became absurd. We're now being told that you have to get vaccinated no matter who you are across the country. That's where the Biden administration is. Everybody's got to get vaccinated. They don't even talk about how there could be a need for boosters, which would mean that we would have to also run this process again. So if you think that it's a one and done, I need someone to explain to me, and I'm someone who's seen a lot of the bad policies here coming, why we're not going to have to go through this, you know, year in and year out. And the return of Fauciism with masking during flu season, and if you think that they're not already gearing up for this, we actually have. I mean, here's President Biden at the White House on Friday talking about, you guessed it, new variants, folks. That's my new variants.
New variant will leave unvaccinated people even more vulnerable than they are a month ago. This is a serious concern, especially because of what experts are calling the Delta variant. It's a variant that is more easily transmissible, potentially deadlier, and particularly dangerous for young people.
Now, a few things. One, I guess we've moved away from the South African variant,
yes,
or the UK variant or whatever it was that they were saying before. But also, Clay, the story over the weekend, Daily Mail had this, was that there are all these experts now who are saying these red states are going to get it badly if they don't just bend the knee and get vaccinated across the board. Everybody, man, woman and child across the board.
And what is the biggest issue here that isn't being talked about to me? Is I went to my local grocery store last week and I got an antibody test. $25, took 15 minutes, get my finger pricked. They come out and they say, hey, you've got COVID antibodies. I never tested positive for COVID. I had one day in the last 18 months where I had a fever Sunday. I worked from home for the next 8 to 10 days. I didn't go get tested. It was the middle of November. And the testing sites were totally overwhelmed. I've had the flu before. I've had a lot of other illnesses. I've never gotten tested for the flu. I felt fine. One day I had a fever. The next day I was fine. Okay? So I went and got tested for the antibodies. One of the things that the experts don't seem willing to acknowledge is we know that there are over 100 million people who have had COVID. I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. Yep.
We have right now in our blood antibodies. Many of us do. The same thing that you would get if you got the vaccine, except a natural version. Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, talked about this. He is a doctor, unlike a lot of the other people who claim to be doctors out there, the blue checkmark brigade, as I call them. I've made the decision that I'm not going to go get vaccinated now because I've already had COVID. Other people could make other decisions, but when I have the antibodies in my blood, I would literally be going to get a vaccine to get antibodies in my blood. I feel fine. I feel healthy. And I understand that everybody should be able to make their own decisions about whatever they choose to do for their own health. Additionally, as a parent, I have to sit back and look at my 13, my 10, and my 6-year-olds and say, okay, what am I going to do for them? And the answer is not a damn thing, because I look at the data, and if they get COVID, they are under infinitely more risk. This is true for people under the age of 18. You are under infinitely more risk of death from the seasonal flu than you are from COVID. Look at the data. COVID drastically overrepresented with people who are senior citizens. If you're a senior citizen and you're listening to us right now, I've said this to my own parents, I would encourage you to go get the vaccine. You're in a greater danger from COVID. You don't have to listen to me, but that's the advice that I gave my parents. That's the advice that I gave the elderly family members in my
household. Same advice I gave my parents,
and
who are vaccinated.
Yes, my parents are too. And that's the same. You don't have to listen to us. We're not telling you that you have to do anything. But for kids, I'm not doing it, Buck. And it's crazy to me that there's not even a real discussion about this in the United States when the WHO and Germany are both saying, hey, we don't believe kids under the age of 18 need to be vaccinated at all, and certainly not really young versions of that, right? And this ties in with college kids and everyone else. If you're in your teenage years, you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, unless you have major health-related conditions, you're going to be fine if you get COVID. And this has been my argument. I know, Buck, you got into this as well. When this whole debate started, I said stratification of ages. And if we were making intelligent, rational policy decisions, we would have isolated the elderly and the severely unhealthy and told them to stay away from modern society and let everybody else go to work.
This is what the great Barrington Declaration of thousands of doctors and scientists
tried to shut down
and pretend didn't exist. And that's why the science, which is Fauci, has doubled down. I want to come back to Fauci as the science.
He's a clown.
He's referred to himself. He said again, If you don't like me, you don't like the science. So
he went to your high school, though, by the way.
He did. He's like the one that the high school loves. Me,
yeah,
I don't know. I think I'm disowned.
Sheep.
Yeah, but we'll come back into this, because here's what I want all of you to understand. This hasn't gone away, folks. I just flew here. There's still all these regulations, still
don't
all these
get
rules.
Me started
there
on are, airports.
It's
and
crazy.
Airplanes.
And unless we go and say what was done, what did we get wrong here? I'm telling you. And even if you're if you're breathing that free fresh air without two or three masks on your face and a plastic bag over your head and whatever else is going on, but finally you're breathing that fresh air in Texas, in Florida, in any state that's not basically New England, New York, or California. The federal government, the Biden administration, they're not done with you on this one yet. And that's why the airplane thing matters. So I want to get into that as soon as we come back, and the need to rectify what has been done here that was wrong all along. But, you know, dog food, for the most part, is dead food. I love dogs, and I don't want to feed the family dog. We got a French bulldog named Tallulah. She's quite adorable. I don't want her eating stuff that doesn't give her all the nutrients she needs. All that dry kibble that's manufactured using a sterilization process that kills anything that's actually alive. You know, those nutrients, the things you really need in your pet's food. So that's why I want you to try Rough Greens. It's not dog food. Instead, it's a healthy supplement that you put into your dog's food to give all those live nutrients for superior dog health, all right? No matter whether you feed your dog the most expensive pet food on the market or you make it at home or something else, we guarantee you that Rough Greens will make your dog's food better. It's the only live canine supplement on the market. I mean, the dog basically got me through the pandemic. I mean, it was like my companion day in and day out. You want to take good care of your dog, want her or him to live the longest, healthiest life possible? Get Rough Greens. Add it into your dog's food. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident that your dog is going to love Rough Greens, they've worked out a special deal for our listeners. Go to Rough Greens, that's R-U-F-F, by the way, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. Just cover the shipping, and your free bag of Rough Greens will be on its way to your home. So that's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck for your free bag of Rough Greens. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. And one thing that we know, is that science is not consensus and certainty is not fact. That you should always leave open the possibility with new evidence, new data, that you should change your conclusions. And if you have imperfect, highly imprecise data, you shouldn't pretend you know everything, which is exactly what has happened at various stages of the pandemic in this country. And the expert class, the blue check MDs, the, let's be honest, the Democrat lockdowners, they've acted like they've known everything at every stage. Ron Johnson was asked about this, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, on Sunday when it came specifically to some of the medicines. People are talking about, well, do we know more about ivermectin now? Do we know more about what was the truth of the hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin situation from the early days? Do we have full data on it? Here's what he said.
Dr. Fauci happened. Media arrogance. Social media censorship happened. But we all know that Dr. Fauci, he's not a modest man. You know, if you question what he did, apparently you're questioning science itself. But you can't look at how he stage managed the COVID crisis and call it anywhere close to a success. 600,000 people died, trillions of dollars of economic devastation. He ignored early treatment. He probably helped sabotage the use of some of these things. And you have to understand that Dr. Fauci, people in the health agencies, the media, the social media, they will never admit they were wrong on this, because if they do, they're going to have to admit that literally hundreds of thousands of people didn't have to lose their lives, but for their censorship, their arrogance, and Dr. Fauci's mismanagement.
Oh, Dr. Fauci is science, though, Clay. And if he were here, he'd say, Clay, where's your mask? I can feel your unvaccinated droplets hitting me in the face.
That's a pretty good Fauci impersonation, I'm not going to lie. But this is, to me, probably the most infuriating part of this entire process, is the fact that we haven't been able to have a real debate about the appropriate responses. But we failed. I believe that our response to COVID is the single greatest American failure since the Vietnam War. I really do. And what I hope is, in the same way that we got an accounting of the Vietnam War, and that was the best and the brightest who ended us, put us into the Vietnam War as well, I hope we're going to get a full accounting of all the failures that we saw from COVID. I fear that we are not, because it will make people like Fauci and the left-wing mask mafia look like the idiots that they are. And it will actually hold them accountable, and they'll have to recognize for all of the errors that they made, why they're so significant. When we come back, we're going to continue to unpack this story. But I want to talk to you guys for a minute here about Father's Day. Father's Day just came and went. And if a lot of you are like me, it meant that maybe your kids were not fighting with each other for a couple of minutes out there. Maybe they sat down and they got a picture with you. Maybe they smiled. Maybe they were willing, just like they are on Mother's Day, to just make their life a little bit better for a small period of time. And maybe you want to preserve all those pictures that you got. Mother's Day, Father's Day, your family. How about Legacy Box hooking you up and taking care of all of your family's cherished life experiences? What do you never want to forget? What do you want to ensure that you have forever, particularly all these old different methods that you may have used to get your pictures, your videos, everything out that is your family's history? Get hooked up now with Legacy Box. 40% off, so your family can celebrate meaningful moments at a fraction of the normal price. Visit legacybox.com/clayandbuck to get started today. That's legacybox.com/clayandbuck for 40% off. legacybox.com/clayandbuck.
I admire people who are able to take what everybody assumes are these intricate and ornate complex things and boil them down to their essence.
Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, Rush Limbaugh bringing us back there. That's what we hope to be able to do for you guys, is take complicated stories and, frankly, break down stories that are not being given to you in an honest and factual manner, and let you know why they matter. That's what we're going to try to do for 3 hours, everything, every single day. And Buck, you know, I think it's a really good omen. Our show is debuting on the anniversary of when the U.S. Constitution became the official framework of our government.
June 21st, 1788, Clay. That's when New Hampshire became the ninth of 13 states to ratify it. Rush spoke of the Constitution often, as we all know, with great admiration, with awe, with reverence. The show will continue to feature Russia's wisdom as it relates to the present day. So we thought it appropriate to start with these words from Rush.
The U.S. Constitution limits the role of government in everyday life. The founders of this country realized that the natural tendency of human beings with power is tyranny. They knew it. They realized it. They built in checks and balances to assure that we didn't go tyranny. And if we did, it was going to take a long time to pull it off. They knew what human nature was. They had studied it from the beginning of time. And it is truthful to say that the natural tendency of people with political power is tyranny. That is what is so miraculous about our country. We've been around 200 plus years, and we have had a piece of paper, essentially, the Constitution, that everybody has sworn allegiance and fealty to. Amazingly, it would have been not difficult at all to rip it up at any time in the past 200 years. Now, there have been people that tried. There have been people that wanted to. But in the end, we somehow, and I believe it's because we are a nation blessed by God, we have survived where other people on this planet have not. Something about the sheer, raw decency, goodness of power as defined and expressed in our Constitution has intimidated even the worst of bad actors into leaving it alone until now. Now we have arrived at the moment where the Constitution no longer frightens the people behind Joe Biden. The Constitution no longer threatens them. The Constitution no longer intimidates them. But you know why? Because they believe that a significant portion of American people have no idea what the Constitution says. They believe that a majority of American people have no idea what the Constitution is about. They believe a majority of Americans have no idea what the Bill of Rights is. If you don't know what the Bill of Rights is, then how can you be upset over losing it? And to a point, they are right. We do have, because of so much ignorance in our education system. We have literally lost the education system, pop culture.
It's amazing to think about how we have entered into a world, those are Rush Limbaugh's words, where so many of you listening to us right now feel terrified to say what you think about COVID or to say what you think about any subject in the world right now. I've always argued, and this is me putting my lawyer hat on, Buck, that the single most valuable asset we have as a society is our embrace of Western civilization. What Rush is really talking about there, for anybody who studies history, and I know you're a history nerd like I am, Buck, is our government represents the best approximation and analysis of all of Western civilization, the best things that we could pull from all of history to create the most, even while it's imperfect, form of government that has ever existed in the history of the free world. And much of what I see going on a day-to-day basis now, Buck, is really not just an attack upon American values. It's an attack about all of Western civilization, which is the foundation, essentially, of all freedom in the world. And it's so maniacally insane to me that saying, hey, maybe we should learn from the Greeks and the Romans. Maybe we should learn from all the Enlightenment values as we did to create the best form of union that we can. Oh, but wait a minute, those are a lot of white guys. We can't listen to them anymore. That's kind of the world that we found ourselves in. And it scares me. We talked about this when we started the show. I don't only think, and this is one of the great things about being a father and being a parent, your worldview expands from, hey, what's going to happen during my life? And one day you're going to find this out, Buck. And immediately when that kid arrives, you start thinking about, hey, long after I'm gone, what world are they going to inherit? And we've been talking to you for over 2 hours, and we're going to be talking to you hopefully for years. But that's where my motivation to take on this challenge with this show with you, Buck, came from. Thinking about how do we pass on the values that have driven the success of this country to the next generation. And I know there's a lot of people of a variety of different ages that are listening to us right now. You're 39, I'm 42. God willing, we got a couple of generations ourselves where we can continue to influence things and continue the battles that Rush fought. But man, I'm already thinking about what is coming for that next generation, for my 13-year-old, for my 10-year-old, for my 6-year-old. I'm not worried so much about my life. I've had a great life, but I am concerned when Western civilization itself is under siege and when the foundational documents of our country, which have allowed us to be the most successful country and the best beacon of freedom that's ever existed in the world, is now under assault. That's why I'm here, candidly. And I know that's a big reason why you're here, too.
I think the recognition that everyone should have is that the left in this country and in the broader West and around the world in so many ways is intentionally kicking at the load-bearing walls of Western civilization. They do this knowing what the eventual goal is. There are reasons why they are trying to undermine and attack the family, religious belief, whether it's a question of your ability to practice freely, not just under COVID, but in general. They try to eliminate separation of the genders. We've all seen this. They've tried to eliminate gender essentially as a concept, as a meaningful organizational principle of our lives and how we interact with
each
other.
It's going on in the Olympics right now, Buck.
Undermining fundamental freedoms that we thought we all held dear and in common in this country, but doing so openly because, unfortunately, and I think the show, while we are going to be fighting for you, we're also going to be a reminder of what the left has accomplished so far and where they think they are in this whole process. They feel ascendant. And you could point to elections and you can point to all the back and forth of power. But if you look at the culture, if you look at some of the foundational principles that holds our whole country together, that actually keeps us as one people, those are under assault from open borders. Those are under assault from an anti-constitutionalism that is essential to the left-wing view of America today, because restraints on government power mean that you can never actually get to the utopia that the leftists, the authoritarian Democrats, really the increasingly obviously the Marxists. I even have friends who say they have a communist ethos without communist economics. That's essentially what we're facing in so many ways from the Democrat Party today. This is a real challenge and a real fight, because if you look over the last 20 years, put elections aside for a moment, you're asking that question about your children and many other people listening to the show. What does the future look like for their kids
and grandkids
and grandkids? And it's going to be, on the current trajectory, a very different place. I don't think we should lapse into a fatalism about that. I think there should be an understanding that we can go back to founding principles. We can go back to true unity, which I know that word has been turned into a laugh line by the Biden administration, which tried to unify for about 5 seconds after he was sworn in. But that's one of the things. We will both be serious, Clay, about the scale of the challenge and honestly the threat to our Americanness that we face, but also be happy warriors in this fight, because we know the great news for us is that we have so many millions and millions of people across the country in this house that Rush built, so to speak, that know that they have to stand with us at the barricade. They know that they are in this together with all of us.
You guys are the tip of the spear. Buck and I are going to be out there in front of the line, but you guys are the tip of the spear. And what is encouraging to me, and I think the happy warrior phrase is a good one I like to use too. What is encouraging to me is, Buck, we're on the side that's going to win. We are. I firmly believe that. I'm a huge optimist. I think if you study American history, over time, rationality, logic, reasonableness wins. Right now, it's not. And there have been periods throughout American history where irrationality, fear, fear-mongering, unfortunately, race-baiting, identity politics, cancel culture, all of that rolls together. And for a short period, it can look like that side is going to win. But I think what ends up happening, and I can already see it rising up, is there is a strong reaction coming on the other side. 2022, I think Republicans are going to take back the House and probably the Senate. And with the right nominee in 2024, which we've been talking about already, I think that Kamala Harris is going to get her ass absolutely kicked. Destruction. Without COVID happening, Donald Trump wins a landslide in 2020. We can get into all the different permutations of voting and everything else. But if COVID doesn't happen, Buck, and I think you're with me here, Trump wins Minnesota. He wins Pennsylvania with ease. He flips, I think, Nevada. I think he flips New Mexico. We're talking about a destruction. And I think what the Democrats have reaped here is they have convinced themselves that identity politics and cancel culture is their route to power. And I think in 2022 and in 2024, Western civilization is going to rise up and all the reasonable, logical, rational people out there are going to kick some serious ass. And guess what? We're going to be here with you enjoying that ass kicking.
I remember that 2010 election. Remember in 2008, 2009, everyone thought that it was going to be a fundamental transformation of America. Now, some of that may have been accomplished over the ensuing years, but there was quite a big pushback, and it led to a whole movement. And there might be another movement, Clay, to your point about the midterm. And part of that is, I think, because of exactly what Rush said, the genius of the Constitution is that understanding of human nature. And even at a point where it might feel, and it does to me and to Clay right now, like freedom is not just under assault, but perhaps is beginning to die out.
Western civilization, Buck.
There are embers for the conflagration to come that all we have to do is just breathe a bit more into the Constitution and those fundamental precepts of American life, and it can all come back. And that's part of our goal here. Also, part of our goal is to hear from all of you, and we've got a whole bunch of calls that we meant to get to. We will get to when we come back. Whatever, I mean, we're going to have essentially whatever the top story for you is, we can get to that in just a moment. So we've got lines lit all over the place. Remember, clayandbuck.com is the website for updates, news updates, and also everything you're hearing here. We're going to be posted at that site. Follow him, Clay Travis. Follow me, Buck Sexton, on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever it is that you are doing your social media stuff. Like you, I pay attention to our nation's economy and how it affects us. Last week's business headlines reported U.S. inflation surged upwards to 13-year highs. That's not good, but it's not unexpected. Our federal government has printed and put a lot of money, trillions of dollars, into the economy. And inflation, as we know, is a serious side effect of this. So how do you protect yourself? By investing in gold and other precious metals. You can have real gold delivered privately and securely to your home, or have real gold put into your IRA or 401k. Call the Oxford Gold Group at 833-600-GOLD. The Oxford Gold Group will teach you everything you want to know about owning real gold, and it's a lot easier than you think. This is one of the few select sponsors the EIB has embraced in the past 3 months because they've passed all the tests and safeguards that Rush taught us to pay attention to. Excellent customer service, providing something of real value to you, and respecting this audience and program's longstanding relationship. Call the Oxford Gold Group now at 833-600-GOLD to get your free precious metals investment guide. The Oxford Gold Group is here to help you protect your savings and retirement from the unknown. Call them at 833-600-GOLD. Get gold you can hold with the Oxford Gold Group, 833-600-GOLD.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. First show, Monday edition, almost all in the books here. Buck has got you. We gave you a little bit of positivity there in the last segment. I'm optimistic we're going to win the long-term war, even though the battles right now can be very fierce. And you have a great moment of contemplation here, Buck Sexton, to take us into the final bit of the show.
First off, Dr. Fauci won't join us, really. So
we
I'm going to have to be.
Fauci. I don't know if he's going to come.
You know, Clay is here and the droplets are just. We're in studio. He's not two masks, not three, zero masks.
He's very upset. Fauci's very upset with Clay to start off with. But My friend Carol Markowitz over at the New York Post had a great piece I want to share with all of you real quickly. The headline is, this summer, turn off your screens and boldly go out into the real world. And oh my gosh, is that the case, my friends? It's so important to get everyone. I feel this, right, Clay? Don't you feel this energy? People want to live life.
The world outside of your screen is far better than the world inside of
your
screen.
And the great thing about radio is you could be poolside, beachside.
Driving on a great family vacation.
Exactly.
We can hang out with you
with that beautiful Montana air blowing through your hair. Or if you're down, you know, getting some sun in San Diego or wherever, Clay Travis and Buck Sexy can hang out with you. But our point really is here, folks. We made it through. I know we talk about some of the stuff, some of the wrong decisions in the past about the lockdowns and everything else. But Clay, anyone listening to this, we made it through. We got through this pandemic, and now it really is time for the business of the American people to be business, but also to be pleasure.
Have some fun out there as we roll into the summer. Burn your masks, live your life, and we want to thank all of you. We didn't get to all the calls. We want you to know that we're going to be interactive. You can find us on Twitter at Buck Sexton, at Clay Travis. We are going to be here with you for 3 hours every day for a long time to come. But as we finish this first show, we want to once more thank Rush Limbaugh for the opportunity to speak to all of you. He is an icon. We will never replace him. But as we said to start this show, we will be fighting the battles that he cared about deeply for the next weeks, months, and hopefully years going forward. Thank you for giving us the time today. And we will continue to fight those battles. Right, Buck?
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. Joining you here every day. Thanks for being with us. Make sure you check us out on social media, wherever you do your social media stuff. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, 12 noon Eastern.